Hi, I'm Steve.
And I'm Simon. Welcome to the Business and Beers podcast,
where we chat to our guests about real life experiences and the practical steps to their success, with a ton of knowledge bombs getting dropped along the way.
While enjoying a beer together, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
Hey, Business and Beers podcast listeners, Simon and I are super excited once again to bring another guest to you guys today. Just a bit of background on how the guest and I met. Bit of a strange one. My landlord WhatsApped me one day and he's like, "No, I have a friend of a friend that's looking to start a podcast. You kind of do podcasts. Would you be keen to chat to him?" So that was about the beginning of 2020. And since then, our guest, we've been chatting, we have business chats, we've been on other podcasts together. So Simon and I are super thrilled today to welcome the Finance Ghost to Business and Beers. Welcome, Finance Ghost.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, what a random way we met, and how much has happened between that original conversation about starting a podcast and where we find ourselves today.
Yeah, you guys are actually lying. It was through watching Ghostbusters. So.
Definitely. Cool. So Finance Ghost, tell our guests a little bit about who and what Finance Ghost is. And then, of course, our favorite question. Tell our listeners one or two things that not many people would know about Finance Ghost.
Okay, so Finance Ghost is just over a year old now. And I was crazy enough to start this business at around the same time that Baby Ghost arrived, which I wouldn't recommend to anyone, really, but when you have a window period, you take it. It hasn't been easy, I'm not going to lie, but it is what it is. So Finance Ghost is basically just my attempt to take complicated financial stuff in the markets and repackage it in a way that people can understand. Because I luckily, or unluckily, depending how you look at it, did 6 years of investment banking, and obviously the net result of that is quite a good skill set around investing, corporate finance, what companies are actually doing on the JSE internationally, how to value them, how to invest in them, the whole shebang. And it feels to me like that skill set, you know, it shouldn't just belong to me. It shouldn't just belong to people who have done their years in the market. There's no reason why a lot of that knowledge can't be distilled into something that is relatively easy to understand. It is a complicated area. Obviously, you're never going to downplay that. Mm-hmm. There's no ways you can just randomly teach people everything about it just through blogs and podcasts and writing. But what is great is you can certainly help people learn, and that's something that I've been doing for the past year. And I must be honest, when I started the Finance Ghost, I had absolutely no idea where this thing was going to end up. I know people say that, and it's quite cliche, but I really didn't. I just thought, well, let me start a finance blog. It was around the same time that a lot of people were getting retrenched. I felt very strongly that, you know, if I can just help people maybe understand their businesses a bit better, understand the markets a bit better after the big sell-off that happened around the start of lockdown, you know, it would help people get back on their feet, and who knows where it would lead to. So I suppose that's really what the Finance Ghost is. And these days it's a website, it's a radio segment, it's a podcast, it's me writing for the Financial Mail. I mean, it's just been a dream, honestly. Couldn't have imagined it could have happened like this in the last year, but it has. Things people don't know about the Finance Ghost. Well, no one knows who I am, which is quite fun. I made it anonymous from the start. And the main reason was just because I have quite strong opinions on things. And I want to be able to share them freely. And I don't ever want them to be attached to my employer, essentially. Because otherwise it can really hamstring what you can and can't say. You know, you've obviously got to always be very conscious of that. And so I decided to keep it anonymous. I haven't been working in the investments industry for a couple of years now. So at the time I started the business, you know, I was out of the industry. I just didn't want to create any problems, really. So it started out as an anonymous thing. I made it a cartoon because I'm a bit of a kid at heart and I thought it would be fun. And it's actually created this cartoon brand in the finance industry, which is like literally basically unheard of. And here we are. So no one knows who I am. That's the one thing. I'll have to let you know if I think of anything else. I'm not sure. I guess people don't really realize the hours that go into this thing, maybe. Maybe that's another answer. I think it all looks like a lot of fun from the outside, but it is fun, but the hours are relentless.
There's a copyright for Business and Beers, eh? Who are you going to call? Finance Ghost.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So Finance Ghost, you've teed us up perfectly then for the next question. You've spoken about the hours that go into this. Those that haven't realized, this is obviously The finance guy's side hustle. He works a full-time job and is doing this on the side. And I think it's really important for our guests because I advocate strongly for having a side hustle, but more so a side income, just so that you don't always have to rely on your current job in case you get retrenched, whatever the story may be. So let's chat a little bit around side hustles. And for you, you've mentioned you even had a little kid and you had the side hustle. So how did you... Well, let's maybe, if you can, give us an indication of how many hours you have to put into this a day or a week, and how do you manage that?
Yeah, so it might shock people, but how many hours I put into this thing per week is every hour I have outside of my day job. And I'm really not exaggerating when I say that. Like, it's easy to make it sound harder than, you know, to make it sound crazy, but it really is that. Poor Mrs. Ghost will attest to how tough the last year has been, to be honest, on us personally and in general, but it's become clear to me in the last year when this thing started to take off that actually, you know, this is something that can go all the way. And there's a big opportunity here. People seem to like what I'm doing. So when a window opens up like that, you have to climb through it no matter how hard it is. And, you know, in terms of the hours, honestly, if I'm taking 3-4 hours a week off in total across everything, that's a lot. There's no watching TV. Like, you know, I love Formula One. I'll find a way to make time for that. I haven't even watched Drive to Survive yet on Netflix, which I love. I haven't watched one episode yet.
Come on.
I know. I mean, Steve, how long has it taken us to even find time to actually... I think we've been talking about doing this show for about 2 months now. So, yeah, it is absolutely nuts. Partially because I'm doing it with a baby, which does make it harder. But just the amount of time required because it's gone so well. I mean, it's really a victim of success. It's one of those be careful what you wish for situations.
Yeah, and I just want to quickly add on that. How did you keep the passion or the flame alive? Because first of all, this is a secret thing. So not everyone knows that it's Mr. X, Y, and Z and you getting the credit. It's kind of like the finance guy. So how did you keep the passion going?
Yeah, so for me, the passion definitely doesn't come from the credit in my own name, obviously. Otherwise, I would have done it in my own name. And that actually sets it apart from a lot of people in the market because a lot of the finance industry is very much about personal brand, whereas this is about a purple cartoon ghost. So people notice that and they go, Jesus, something a little bit different, you know. So for me, that's definitely not where the passion comes from. It's not about recognition for me. It's about people enjoying what I'm reading. So recognition in another way, positive feedback on what I'm doing, sharing it and saying, geez, I really enjoy this, you know. Well, this guy's insights are great. Like, he's helping me understand what I didn't used to understand. That's my biggest source. So when people are making comments like that, you know, I understand what CarTrack is doing. No one else in the market could explain it this way. That for me is very energizing. I've had a few covers on Investors Monthly, Financial Mail, which I've taken a lot of energy from as well. So it's just those sort of small successes.
Yeah. But, and I think you go into like a critical thing specifically with side hustles, because it's very easy for people on the outside to say, oh, great, finance goes, but like, you don't understand my situation. I work a full-time job now. Where do I find time? And, you know, you've obviously got the baby ghost and Mrs. Ghost and you're trying to make everyone happy. But, and maybe this is something we can discuss because, you know, like you said, a year ago, you started this, you know, side hustle that's now blowing up. But I think what people need to understand is when you do something that's a side hustle, and, you know, you can maybe attest to this, there are obviously days where it's like a bit up and down. But when you find a side hustle that is something that actually motivates you and, you know, keeps you excited, those hours are actually like you don't really account for it because you're doing something that you love. You can see the value that you're adding to the market. And even if that means, okay, great, this week I've only got 4 hours off, well, I'm actually doing something I enjoy. And maybe that's what people sometimes miss with the side hustle is when you start doing stuff that you love and that you're passionate about. We were talking about it the other day, and yeah, sorry, I know this is a long-winded like question statement, but we were talking about the states of the mind, and the way that I'm seeing this with you, Finance Ghost, is you actually go into a state of flow. And when you take your mind into a state of flow with what you're doing, that the time gap that you're going through is actually, you know, you sit there for 5 hours, but it actually feels like 5 minutes. I mean, can you maybe run us through that? Like, how do you go about that? Is this something that you absolutely passionate about? Do you reach these states of flow?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting question. And I think you're right, because I do lose track of time when I'm doing it. And I actually have to consciously say to myself, okay, you know, I have to make time for everything else in my life. There's no two ways about it. Because when you're doing something that you enjoy so much and that you're building for yourself, it's very easy to completely go down a rabbit hole and just spend endless hours on it. So the discipline, I think the irony is that by doing it with a family and with everything else, it's actually forced me to maximize the value per hour that I spend on it, which is actually really helpful, because I think a lot of people, when they start a side hustle, they start a business, they will clutch at every straw they can to make a quick buck. And there's always a way to make money. People forget this. There's always a way to make money. If you have any kind of skill, you can do it. But it's what you do with that time that makes a big difference. And because my time is so critical to me, I've said no to a lot of stuff, because I'm lucky in that because I have the day job, you know, I can afford to feed my family, and that can make me pickier about how I'm earning money on the side. So that's been great, actually. And to be honest, I would strongly advocate anyone who's thinking of starting a business for that exact reason, keep your day job for as long as you can, because you need the stable income, because it gives you the foundation from which to say no to stuff that you don't want to be doing, shouldn't be doing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, 100%. I fully agree with you. And maybe, you know, this leads into the next thing, because it's incredible to hear about people with side hustles. So I think for me personally, you know, Steve and I have been chatting about side hustles for a long time, and he's been incredibly successful with it. And, you know, just network with the right amounts of people, and, you know, picking up from yourself, Finance Ghost, that's exactly the same thing. You know, you found something that you're passionate about. So I'm going to use myself as an example now, and maybe you can walk through this, because I think there's so many of our listeners that are kind of stuck in the situation. And I'm going to use hypothetical Simon and potentially even real Simon, because now I'm sitting at a point and I'm saying, okay, great, I need to diversify my portfolio. It's great to have one stream of income, don't get me wrong, and fully agree, like you're saying, you've got this main cash cow which is keeping you alive. Now I'm considering side hustles. Okay, now I jump on Google and I'll start Googling, okay, top 100 side hustles, and it's now, you know, become a consultant, become this XYZ, you know, affiliate ABC. Marketing. Yeah. Affiliate marketing. Go into Amway. but I think more seriously, and you know, maybe you can go through your experience of how you got about this, but where do people start? Like, what idea do you need to come up with to start a side hustle? Because hypothetical Simon, I'm sitting in a situation where I don't have digital marketing background. I don't have an investment marketing background. I don't have a consulting background. I'm a sales specialist. Okay, great. Now, what do I do?
Yeah, so it's the age-old question, right? I mean, certainly the Finance Ghost was not at the top of a list of 100 best side hustles. So I always get slightly nervous of that stuff, because I think that a side hustle needs to be specific to a person. The thing people have to understand is, in my view, if you're going to do a side hustle, it's got to be something you're really good at, because you're going to be doing it in your spare time, starting from zero with limited resources from scratch. So there's no way you can do that if you're going to try and poke around, you know, with a skill that you don't already have. I mean, I'm not going to go and teach myself how to bake cakes. It's just not a good use of my time. But if you're a great baker, then sure. You know,
Mrs. Ghost.
Yeah, Mrs. Ghost is a great baker. So there we go. You know, maybe that's the additional income stream to come. But, you know, it's important that you do something you're good at. So for me, I looked at it and said, well, what is this unique thing that I can do? Well, I can write. Like, I enjoy writing. I think I can write. People seem to enjoy what I do. And I'm passionate about the markets and business, not just public markets, startups as well. I do also write about just startups and business in general. And the combination of the two becomes really interesting, because it's something I can do in my spare time that I'm good at and is easy to then distribute out to the world. So I think there's also a big difference between a side income and a side business, because, you know, a side income of baking cakes for kiddies' parties is great, but the chances of it turning into the next big bakery in South Africa, it's not zero, but it's not high. So it's about, can your side hustle be scaled, actually? I almost hate using that word because it's so cliche. It starts to sound like a startup podcast. But, you know, scale is important. Yeah. Can this thing grow? And my definition of scale is simple. You know, it's input versus output. It takes me the same amount of time to write an article whether 10 people read it or a million people read it. And that is scale. That means that if I just keep doing this, it can get bigger without me having to spend any more time on it than I do currently.
When you thought about the Finance Ghost as an idea, whatever, it's a year and a half ago now, was it just an idea in the shower? Did you spend hours and hours planning this? Did you do a SWOT analysis? Did you draw over a board, do pros and cons? Did you go and spend a fortune on your branding? Like, what did the Finance Ghost do when you got started?
So no, when I started the business, I didn't go and do any fancy stuff on paper. I'll be honest, I really didn't. I didn't go and do a SWOT analysis and everything else. But obviously you do some of that stuff in your head. And for me, it really was just a case of saying, I've always wanted to do this. Let me just start. So what did I spend money on? The logo, the brand, that was important to me. I mean, it is a purple ghost cartoon. It's not going to be very pretty if I sit down and draw it because I struggle with a stick figure. So that I spend money on. And then obviously the websites as well. I mean, it's my window to the world. And then when I got into the podcasting stuff, I invested in that equipment as well. I actually way overbought for my needs, but I thought, well, I'll probably grow into it one day. And if nothing else, at least it'll inspire me to do well because it looks the business, which counts for something. You know, you've also got to give yourself an infrastructure where you are kind of backing yourself and saying, okay, I'm gonna invest in this. I'm not shy to do so because I believe it's going to work. So stupid things that make you happy, you know, also help. So it's a really lame example, but like this keyboard I have has all these different backlights and one of them is purple, so I obviously set it to purple because it's like on brand with
EJ
my ghost,
Finance Ghost,
you know. It's so incredibly lame, but at 1 o'clock in the morning on your fifth night in a row like that, it's the silly little things that can keep you going.
Yeah, I think, and that's maybe where people looking to consider side hustles need to look at, because what I'm really drawing on what you're saying, Finance Ghost, and I think it's great. So I listened to another podcast with Brian Eyre, and you know, free punt there, Brian, you owes us big time. But the whole podcast, and just very quickly in summary, it's a bunch of pilots that now start actually just talking about their journey, and they created this very niche product from something that wasn't available in the market. And last week I was listening to the podcast in my house, and one of the pilots, Brian, he started really just opening up and started talking about, okay, great, he's a pilot. They've always discussed, you know, diversifying the portfolio, in this case, having your main income and then looking at something on the side. But from what I'm picking up and the more I hear about this, I think people also need to clearly differentiate between your side hustle, like you said. Am I creating a side hustle to ultimately overthrow this main cash cow? And then the goal is, okay, I need to start generating income as quickly as possible, as fast as possible. And then, you know, that horrible word, scale this thing up as quickly, you know. But then I think you also need to have another differentiation. And from what I've picked up from your side is, I'm actually just starting something because I'm really passionate about it. I enjoy it. I might not be making money out of it from day one. I might not even make money out of it in a month or two, but it's now I'm creating this platform that I can now build from. So that's kind of like the first point. And then I think the second most critical point, because I'm going to use again, hypothetical Simon, I find for myself, I get stuck in more analytical views than not. So I need to say, okay, great, I need to have the SWOT analysis. I need to check the market conditions. By nature, I'm just a person that I need to do everything by data. And sometimes you actually need to flip that around and just get it done. And that's something that I really picked up, you know, again from yourself and from this other podcast, where the guys were saying is sometimes you just need to get it done. Because when you get it done, people are now starting to consume more content. And they were saying they actually released this education platform with the one guy that they worked with. And they released the education platform. It was horrible. They said they published it off a cell phone, like live recordings of education. But he said they published the course, they dropped the price extremely low to like $5 per course per month. And then from there, they started scaling this thing and saying, okay, great, we've now got users. Now I can get the computer. Now I can get the fancy website. And then they had this pool of 100 people that were consuming content. They now made the content like extremely professional. They upped the price to $75 and they just maximized that. So I think the key point is, you know, when you're starting to think about a side hustle, sometimes you actually just need to start.
Yeah, so as much as data might be your kryptonite, perfectionism is mine. So I the minimum viable product for me is a hard journey to walk. Because for me, it's got to be as good now as it will be 10 years from now. Like there's no ramp up. So that's something that I've been very, very careful with the Finance Ghost. And I think it's really paid off is it's that there was that Michael Phelps advert. I don't know if you remember it or ever watched it. It's like, I think it was Nike or whoever it was, but it's what you do in the dark. You know, it was Michael Phelps training for the Olympics and it's showing how crazy his routine was when no one was watching. And I always think of like radio DJs starting out doing the 3 a.m. show where there really is no one listening, but they have to do it as though they got the breakfast show. Otherwise, they'll never get the breakfast show. So for me, that's what startups are. It's you've got to do it as though you are already a big deal right from the start. I really admire people who manage to make it work with a scummy minimum viable product like that, but they'd make it work sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard though to then get out of that, because now your user base are people who pay $5 and are happy to watch you and your mates on a cell phone. Long term, that might not be who you want. It sounds like they managed to get past that, which is particularly impressive. Do you know, the other thing with market research and understanding if there's a need for something, the one thing that's made life a lot easier these days, obviously, is the internet and the ability to pay to distribute to an audience who you believe will want your product. So chances of creating something that there is literally no market for anywhere in the world almost feels remote. Like, as long as there's something out there that is vaguely similar, you've now got a use case that says, okay, people want this. So if you can just tweak it a bit, you can do well. And the other thing that people forget is, you know, big corporates can't just wake up and take another 5% market share. It's just not how the game works. It's incremental wins. They're already enormous. But when you are a small business, if you can get 0.1% market share of a market and it's just you, you know, you'll be picking what color Porsche you want.
Mm.
And people forget that. You don't have to build the next Apple. Mm. You don't. It's great if you do, but you don't have to. Sometimes you just need to take a decent little share of something juicy.
Yeah. And just to add to that, if you just can have your one USP, you don't have to go and create a whole new business. You can create what someone's already created and just create a USP that's special to you. Just to add to that, the Finance Ghost has mentioned that you don't need to necessarily have the skill or the money. It's all about the passion. If you can be passionate, let's use the example of the Finance Ghost. The Finance Ghost loved writing. Let's say the Finance Ghost wasn't great at writing. The Finance Ghost would then use his passion to go and do a writing course or something like that, you know. So I think the passion for me is what's come out for the side hustle, is if you're passionate about it, you'll make it work, and then the passion will out trump the excuses.
Yeah, something I also want to touch on, because you both mentioned like key points, and again, I think the whole point of like this is really helping people and also getting your experience, Finance Ghost, on side hustles and stuff. And you were talking there about looking at the market and analyzing the need, and you know, this is maybe a challenge question, you know, you're very keen to hear your thoughts, but I think a lot of the times, hypothetical Simon again, you've had a lot of experience in working in different markets and you've got a fair idea and saying, okay, great, like I know this product is for this market. I know this product is for this market. So then you kind of get stuck in a traditional thinking of saying, okay, I'm going to start the side hustle, but then I have to have this market. What I'm picking up from you is you almost created a market for what you had. And maybe people need to understand that is, subsequently, by starting something, you might not necessarily have a clear market that you've got now, but by you creating your side hustle, you're actually creating your own unique market, and people should never be afraid about that. You know, from what I'm picking up from you, the goal from day one wasn't to, you know, boom, I'm going to do my first article and I'm going to get 1,000 likes, 1,000 comments, and I'm going to make a huge amount of money. I start publishing content, I start creating this niche market that I'm working in, because again, you know, based on the discussion that you're having, you've identified the small gap in the market, and now you've actually created a market for your content, and that's now why it's starting to pick up and boom.
Yeah, hypothetical Simon is an astute guy, so yeah, it's all about...
I want to meet him, what a champ!
Sounds like a good egg. Look, absolutely. And that's exactly what the Finance Ghost is. Above all else, it is an attempt to grow the market of people reading financial content. That is precisely what this business is entirely about. I don't want to go and fight for, you know, the market with the existing players. I mean, I write for the Financial Mail and I love writing for the Financial Mail. I'm not going to ever be the Financial Mail. I don't want to compete with them. I love the fact that I can contribute to their platform. What they do is very special, and it's not what I do. So what I do is I find, I mean, I don't know much of my stuff you've read, but it's quite risque at times. It's a lot more edgy than most editors are ever going to allow. You know, my ghost mail, which is my weekly mailer we can talk about just now, but the topic for it this past week was Juan in the Duan, which was about Bill Juan, the hedge fund manager who managed to blow himself up. And obviously in the Duan is Afrikaans slang for we all know what.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, no editor is ever going to let you send a mail like that. And I've been very clear that the Finance Ghost is an extension of my personality. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You know, I am that guy. I always was that guy in investment banking. You know, not always as politically correct, or you know, just willing to have a bit of fun. And just not take life quite as seriously as a lot of other people were doing. And that comes through in the finance guys ultimately. So is there a market of people who enjoy that stuff? Well, I think so, because you can give people the same insights, but you can do it in a way that makes them laugh. It's almost like finance with a bit of comedy. I mean, it's like no one else does this. And, you know, I think I kind of get it right mostly. And here we are.
Yeah.
No, I still, I know finance goes when we last chatted. You're still one of the only emails I read every week and look forward to reading them. Because it's exactly that. For me, I do dabble in the finance space a little bit, but it's like so complicated. And just like, you read it and you're like, what was that? But when you read the finance ghost and even your tweets and your articles, it just makes sense to me. It makes the content real, I guess.
Yeah, I think finance ghost, that it's actually really inspiring, because, you know, if all else fails, I think the key point which people need to take away from this podcast is stop taking things so seriously, man. And I think the reason why people are really resonating with your content is because it's a breath of fresh air. Like, you need to have fun with what you're doing. And if you're not having fun, then actually just don't do it. If your side hustle is not going to be fun, and, you know, maybe this is a whole epitome of tying everything together. The reason you work 20 hours a day, the reason you only have 4 hours off a week is because it's fun. So just like me riding my mountain bike is fun for me, you know, you writing around those articles. And I think that's why people resonate with it, because you've taken what people have deemed a very serious, the market share 10% and you need to do these. And then, you know, coming up with fun articles that people resonate with, because at the core of what everything is, and, you know, I read a lot of articles about successful people and, you know, billionaires, millionaires, the mindset. At the core of all of these people and who everyone is, you're a human being, and people like to have fun.
Exactly. You know, and Steve talking about ghost mail, and Simon, I don't know if you read it too, but I mean, that thing goes out every Tuesday morning. That's actually become my like premier product. And I didn't know it was going to be that way in the beginning. How many mailers are there out there at the moment? Substack has just blown that market up. Everyone has a mailer. So SWOT analysis might say, oh, crowded space. But who cares if everyone has a mailer? It doesn't matter. Because the point is that I have a mailer and there are a group of people who like reading it. And actually, this past week was a really cool milestone for me. More than 1,000 people opened it. So not received it, but opened it.
Oh, congrats. That's huge.
That's not small anymore. And that's been achieved entirely with organic growth. I haven't spent 1 cent on marketing. So sometimes you see a lot of social media accounts with gazillions of followers. They've bought those followers almost every time. It's very hard to grow it organically. But when you grow it organically, it's real. And it's people who are actually engaging with your content. Now, obviously, a really good digital marketing campaign. I mean, Steve, I know that's your world. And it's something that I'm going to get to and need to learn more about with time. But I've gone the organic route to start with because I just wanted to make sure I had a real audience. You know, that I'm not just lying to myself that I can go and spend money, buy followers, and then, yay, look at me. Whereas this thing's come up from zero, you know, which makes it more fun for me as well, to your point. And my test case for whether or not people enjoy the content is I read every article to Mrs. Ghost for her sins. And I always gauge it by how much her eyes glaze over and she gets tired. So if she looks like it's, because I mean, she's a teacher. She has less than zero interest in the markets. So if she manages to get through it and go, oh, you know, that was relatively interesting, then I know it's a winner, you know. And if she goes, whoa, that was just like, what are you doing? Then I know, no, this is too hectic. So like the financial mail stuff I write, for example, if I read it to her, I can see she just goes, oh, that's great, babe, thanks. But, you know, on my own finance coach stuff, inevitably she picks a few things up, which then I know is it means that I'm doing something right.
Yeah, and I think I know we're running out of time on this episode, but I think it's exactly that. Finance Ghost has just mentioned it. It's also really important when you have a side hustle to have a support structure and a cheerleader in your corner. If we look here in this example, Mrs. Finance Ghost isn't interested in the markets, but she's supporting the Finance Ghost in what he's doing, and I think that's really important. It doesn't necessarily have to be a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, or wife that's your supporter, but just get someone in your corner that will, I'm not speaking about a mentor or something like that, I'm just speaking about someone that will cheer you on when you wake up and say, flip, man, I don't feel like writing this article today. Mrs. Ghost will be like, come on, Finance Ghost, it's you at Financial Mail, you can do it, and it will be a great article. I think that's also really important in side hustles.
Yeah, and I think the perfect analogy for you is quite simply that kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Because I think so many people, exactly like you said, you're a specialist in what you're writing and you've got years of experience and knowledge. But the fact that Mrs. Ghost can pick it up and go, wow, that's impressive. She's one of millions of people that are actually going like, cool, I'm actually a CEO of a company and I have no idea what people are talking about. Here comes Finance Ghost and like, flip, for the first time I actually understand, because it's written in layman's term and it's fun to read. So yeah, always remember that kiss. If you can explain it to a 5-year-old and they understand, then you're on a winning streak. Sales 101.
that's exactly it. And I had to make a conscious decision with the content not to try and be the smartest voice in the room, because I've done this stuff. I could write it at a much higher level, but what's the point? I'm then just writing the same stuff that a lot of other people are writing for the same tiny market. So sometimes the art of business strategy is to just say, what can I just do a little bit differently? What is no one else doing? And then if you're really lucky, then you can find something that resonates with people and the rest kind of falls into place, has been my experience.
Yeah, thanks so much, Finance Ghost. We really appreciate you giving up some of your very precious time and not writing your epic articles. Just before we end off, because Finance Ghost has been so great to us, Finance Ghost, where can people find out more about you? What channels are you on?
Yeah, thanks. So Twitter is my sort of ongoing conversation with my followers. FinTwit, I mean, if you have any interest in the market and you're not on Twitter, you are really doing yourself an immense disservice. The level of thinking and knowledge sharing on Twitter is unbelievable. I've actually really, really toned down my Facebook stuff just as a result, because I just find Twitter's just so much more interesting. But what you should really do is go on to thefinanceghost.com, sign up for Ghostmail, which is the mailer that Steve reads every week and really enjoys. It goes out every Tuesday morning. You will really enjoy it, I promise. And you'll learn something every single Tuesday morning at 6:15 a.m. without exception. I've got a radio segment that plays every Tuesday and Thursday morning with Sasha Martinenga on LM Radio and Magic 828. And the articles on the site, if you buy Investors Monthly as part of the Financial Mail, the last Financial Mail of each month, the last Thursday, you'll find my stuff in there. And then finally, the podcast. So there's a podcast called Magic Markets, which I co-host with Mohammed Nallah, who's a phenomenal macroeconomics analyst who I know from a previous professional life. And he's a good mate of mine, and we really have a lot of fun. And then I also have a startup podcast called The Startup Junto. Managed to record only one episode or so a month. But, you know, there we try and focus on interesting stories of people who have started businesses, not too dissimilar to what you guys do, but actually talking quite a bit of the sort of theory, hypothetical Simon, stuff around, you know, product market fit and how did you start the business.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll pop all of those links in our description so guys can follow Finance Ghost on there.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot. I'm a busy guy, as we've discussed.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks again, Finance Ghost, we do appreciate it. Guys, please, honestly, it is one of my favorite things in the weekly Tuesday mail is like, who would honestly have Fives Alive in their mail? But Finance Ghost has it every week. So please, guys, go and subscribe to those mails just to hear more from the Finance Ghost. Thanks, Finance Ghost. We'll chat soon.
Thank you.